It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
All right, welcome back. If ever there was a perfect segue into a segment, on the line, Reggie Jackson of Diversity Partners. 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, Reggie, yesterday was the 54th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And as I was saying yesterday, man, I was 14 years old when Dr. King got assassinated. And I remember the time, the place, where I was, you know, all of those things. And if you look at what took place, you know, and what Dr. King enduring those struggles and where we are today, it's easy for people to say, well, yeah, there's been major change. I mean, there was a black president, there's a black vice president. We're about to have the first black Supreme Court, female Supreme Court justice, and they point to individual accomplishments. And they say, look, see how far we've come? What is your take on that?
You know, I think people love, you know, celebrating symbolic improvement, right? Yeah, okay, right. We've had a black president. Yeah, we've had all these black mayors, all these black elected officials. But if you go back to the essence of the civil rights movement, particularly near the end of Dr. King's life, he had shifted his focus to saying, listen, okay, we've been fighting for voting rights, but the difficulties that people are having in the northern part of the country, in Chicago, when I went to Chicago, they didn't care about voting rights. They were concerned about the economy. They were concerned about people having viable jobs. And so they shifted, you know, his whole program shifted to doing something about poverty in the black community in particular, but in the community overall. And so here we are all these years later, Earl, and we still have a major issue with poverty. It's not as bad as it was back at that time, obviously, but it's still a major issue. And, you know, we seem to just get stuff that we're supposed to celebrate, and while we're celebrating, we're supposed to get all of this other stuff that's going on. I always tell people that, yeah, there's always progress. You know, humanity will always be in a position where we think we're making progress, because that's what we've been taught, that things are always getting better and better. But that's just not the case, Earl. When we look at Milwaukee, you know this better than most. You grew up at a time where you and your dad worked a family-supporting wage job, and you look towards the future as being a very bright future. Young people in our city don't see their future in that way, because they know that those opportunities, those family supporting wage jobs, are a thing of the past. So what do we tell the young people of Milwaukee who are working at, you know, a fast food place making $8 an hour? What do we tell them about their future? They don't see a bright future. We have to start working on, you know, putting people in position where things that should be affordable are affordable again. You know, I talk to people a lot about affordable housing, right? And I said, listen, this is a silly conversation, because affordable housing would be affordable if people were making decent money, Earl. You know, people would be able to buy a home, maybe be able to afford an apartment. If you don't have the minimum wage raised in what? 2009 was the last time Congress.
It's $7.25. It's still $7.25.
Since 2009. Earl, I talked to a group a couple of weeks ago, and I said, listen, man, I remember when I was in high school making $3.35 an hour. I was in 1970s, right? Late 70s,
yeah.
Early 80s. I was making
right.
So it hasn't increased that much. These people are making twice what I made when I was 16, 17-year-old kid, and somehow they're supposed to be surviving. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I personally, I'm tired of the excuses that I've heard from members of Congress about, oh, we can't do this. We can't. Listen, you can spend $830 billion on the U.S. military in the next budget, but you can't raise the minimum wage? It's ridiculous, man.
You know, Reggie, I get so frustrated with hearing people say, we can't afford that. We can't afford that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, where they make their mistake is they can't afford it, and what's going to happen is because they don't put the money where the money should be, they're not going to be able to afford, you know, what's going to happen because they foolishly, you know, don't address the issues that that people have to deal with. You know, they would be much better off if they said, let's spend the money here so they don't then have to turn around and spend that money on prisons or law enforcement. Mm-hmm. The answer can't always be, well, we need more police, because they're never going to be able to have enough money to have enough police, you know, to address the issues that impact and affect communities. Just not going to ever happen, man.
Right. You know, Milwaukee should be ashamed of itself that we were spending well over 50% of the property tax revenue for the city on the police department. That's an amazing.
Yeah, I know.
When only other city, I mean, Tampa was number two on the list of the highest percentage spent on the police department. They were at 41%. We were at 56%. And I don't understand, Earl, how people have this sense that that's not a problem. That's a major problem. I mean, listen, we all know we need police. Obviously, the police are necessary. That's just the way the world works. But listen, for us to spend that large of a percentage of our property tax dollars on the police department, and listen, this is what I tell people about the police. Listen, when the crime rates go down, they take the credit. When the crime rates go up, they blame somebody else for it. The police on TV are not the police in the real world. They don't come and save you from being murdered at the last possible moment like they do in the cop shows. The police in Milwaukee, they find a dead body laying somewhere in the alley. We somehow have this sense that the police are protecting us from violent criminals. But listen, Earl, we know, everybody knows this, that over the last couple of years during the COVID pandemic, that the selling of guns went through the roof across the board. And listen, we know people that aren't, they can't legally buy a gun. They ain't gonna find a gun, Earl. Come on, man.
You can find a gun quicker than you can find a hamburger if you're hungry. You know what I mean? I mean, in this society, that is what they see. That is what's the most important thing, that I have these weapons, and anybody who has, and very few people have the courage to challenge that, you know. Reggie, hang on, man. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Reggie Jackson is on the line, and you can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know.